Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Remember the days when all we did was talk about how our hair looked in quarantine? Well, I don't talk about it nearly as much because I'm a little bit jealous of my friends and family and those of you who found me on social media to let me know that you've already had your hair cut or you've gone to see your stylist and you're all set. Tomorrow, Thursday, is my big day. Thursday, July 2nd, I finally have a chance to go see the man who takes care of my hair. I am really excited. It's the last radio show with crazy hair. Then I say that, though, and I think, my goodness, who am I kidding? My hair is pretty crazy all the time. But yeah, I'm really excited. I may not be able to sleep worrying about missing my appointment. And man, probably like many of you, there are so many protocols. I have to get my temperature. This will be the first time I'm getting my temperature checked since before everything shut down. Gosh, I don't remember the last time I had my temperature checked, actually. But I have not been anywhere that I've had to get my temperature checked. And so this will be the first time. And I had to answer a couple of questions on the phone today. And I have to take a check with me and pay before he even does my hair, which is kind of funny. What if he ruins it? He won't. Paul's great. But I have to do all that stuff ahead of time, call from the parking lot, and they make sure you're not walking in when somebody else is walking out. And I mean, I'm not willing to jump through all those hoops for everything, but I'm definitely willing to jump through all those hoops to get a haircut. So I'm really excited about Thursday. It's a big day. Whoop, whoop. But I did share a photo for those of you who like my crazy hair or just like to have a conversation about quarantine hair because it is the last radio show before it gets the old hi-ya and like the chop. That sounded more like a karate chop, but it was my attempt at like a chop chop. I don't have scissors as an emoji. Maybe that's something you all have on your phones. My phone is older. It's just old. And it's like a way old generation of a Galaxy. I do like it, but it's maybe behind on the emoji game. And so I couldn't find scissors. Instead, I just put the little emoji of the radio. Also, I don't know how many people still have a radio like that, but I like it. It looks old school. So this is the last radio show before my hair doesn't drag down my head. It's just so heavy. That's the thing. I'm excited to go out and feel like a contributing member of society and get a haircut. Woo! But I don't feel like we talk about quarantine hair nearly as much as we did. I miss those days. No, that's a total lie. I don't miss those days. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. It's good to have you with us. You can find my Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And I did, over the last 3.5 months, enjoy it when those of you would send pictures and you'd have long beards, or who was it that we talked to, Chris? I think it was Paul Allen, who kept talking about his eyebrows and how nutso his eyebrows were and how they'd kind of taken over his face. And other people have said to me recently, and I still haven't gotten my beard shaved, or I haven't shaved my beard. And so, yeah, this is my attempt to figure out how to be a contributing member of society again. But honestly, I think I've forgotten. I'm not even sure where my makeup is. I don't even know. Like in the move, I'm not even sure where my mascara and my eyeliner have gone to. And so, yeah, I don't know that I'll ever go back to that girl I was on March. Let's see, what was the date? Gosh, I'd have to look back at my actual calendar. It would have been a week and a half after the NBA shut down. Let me check my calendar. Okay, so the last time I was at CBS Sports Radio headquarters to do shows would have been the morning of March 23rd. I don't know that I'll ever go back to that girl. Yeah, I'm not even sure I know how to get back to that girl. Gosh, so much in our world has changed. But one thing that hasn't changed is I'm still yapping away. And we're still hosting these radio shows. Regardless of the location, the show must go on. Regardless of the crazy hair, the show must go on. And I always appreciate that you all tune in. Even if you think the show is boring. There's this one guy. Every day, it's impossible to host a sports radio show with no sports. It doesn't matter how much I try to reason with him. I've stopped trying because he just is sure that this is the worst job on the planet. And yet he still shows up on Facebook every day. So that's kind of cool. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. We are going to unveil yet another topic as our countdown to the 4th of July continues. So the last couple nights have been a lot of fun. We've done your favorite destinations, well, really your favorite spots in the United States of America. Some of them were destinations where you would travel. Others were places that you lived. For me, it was a couple of nostalgic destinations where I have grandparents and I used to spend a lot of time there and they mean so much to me, especially now that I don't get back there, like I used to. And then on our last show, we did America's Pastime. And as I went back and checked your tweets and I checked your Facebook posts and gosh, we had hundreds of replies and some of them were cynical and fugazi, but others of them, wait, did I use that word right, Chris? Or is that like the improper usage of that word?
No, that was spot on.
I should never be using that word or bougie.
Is another good one.
That one just is more fun to say because you sound like you're saying caca. When I was a kid, we were not allowed to say caca. My mom frowned upon it. In fact, we got the evil stare. That to her was just as bad as using a swear word. I like, what is it? Fakaka? No, fakakta? Can I give it the Amy twist and just say fakaka? Wait, how did we get that? I don't know where I took a turn. Okay, back to, America's Pastime. So we were doing America's Pastimes and some of you came up with inappropriate responses or responses that I wasn't looking for, but many of you were looking for ways to highlight some of the great features of our country. And so it seems like the most popular answers are watching television. Not sure if we should advertise that. And spending time with family, which was cool. And doing it in a way that's outdoors. So that part I really liked because that appeals to me. Just having a couple of cookouts with my family, you know, last week when they were here, that totally appeals to me. Although we had to eat inside because I don't have patio furniture yet. But we did stand outside and do the grilling. So that was fun. And another one that was really popular, eating or food. We're obsessed with food and that's okay. It doesn't necessarily mean we're all getting fat though. I mean, there are some of us who definitely need to cut down on our intake. I did that and because it was a necessity. And so the topic of eating, I think we like to talk about food as much as we like to eat food. I mean, how often do we talk about food on this show? And to that end, as we count down to the 4th, tonight's topic will, in fact, be about food. Now, this is an interesting one to me, and I was trying to figure out the right way to phrase it because, okay, here's a great example. I had friends over tonight for dinner, so they came over to see my house. These are two friends of mine who traveled to Cuba with me the last 2 years, and I hadn't seen them since October. One of them lives out of state. The other one, you know, we just have kept our distance because she's got older parents that she lives with. And so we were deciding we were going to order takeout. And we all love my favorite Thai restaurant. In fact, we've gone there together as a group before. And so we were going to order from my favorite Thai restaurant, and we called, and for some reason they're closed for 2 weeks. Don't know why, but that was the message on the phone. So we had to come up with a pivot and decide what other food to order. And so as we're talking about it, we were talking about the options in the area like this. Well, there's Italian, there's Mexican, we just kind of went on and on. There's Indian, there's this, there's that. And we seem to point to other cultures and other ethnic foods. How often do you ever hear someone say, oh, it's American food? What is American food exactly? So that, even French fries, which we love, I don't actually know if they came from France, but they have the name French fries. So because we love food, and because it appears as though many of you believe that America's pastime is eating, or at least the subject of food, and let's be honest, as one listener pointed out on Twitter last night, we've been really obsessed with our food over the last few months. Why? Because we can't go to restaurants. We are trying to do takeout and order and support our favorite restaurants. We're worried that they might not reopen. Going to the grocery store. I mean, that's been a huge topic of conversation over the last several months and still is, really. I mean, I still have to not only wear a mask, of course, because that's mandated, but I still have to plot out when I go to the grocery store, especially if I go to a larger one or a super Walmart, something like that, because not everything is available and there are lines and there's limited capacity. And so Joanna was right. It's a huge topic of conversation during this spring as well. So that leads me perfectly into what is America's best food? Or foods. I mean, there's going to be more than one answer. If someone says to you, what is American food? What's your answer? Honestly, this is so bad. The first thing that pops into my brain is beef and burgers. But come on, there's got to be something else. Like, what foods are, I don't want to say specific to America, but what foods are closely identified with America? What foods are ours? So we talk about sports that are ours or that we excel at. And it's obviously not soccer. That's a global game. But football is primarily, I mean, there have been football. And when I say football, I mean like NFL, college football. There certainly have been football teams that have popped up in other places. There used to be NFL Europe. We obviously send teams overseas and have games overseas when we can, and they really enjoy it. But football is primarily a game in the U.S. In Cuba, they have no idea what football is. In fact, when I say football, they think soccer because that's what it is to them. And other places I've traveled around the country, they don't know what football is, our football. So the sport of football is definitely an American sport. I don't know what American food is. So this is kind of an interesting one to me. Like I said, the best I could come up with was beef. We don't have the corner on the market, but I kind of am privy to American beef. I feel like we do have great beef in this country, but what else? What else is ours? When you think American foods, what comes to mind? And we love food and we're celebrating the United States. So what are the best American foods? Maybe you'd recommend to someone who comes from outside the country and is here on a visit. When we could actually do that. Someone who travels from another part of the globe and they say to you, what's your best American food? What is it? What are the best American foods that we have to offer? Things that make you go, At least it did for me. Maybe I'm missing the obvious ones, but I felt like it was a good tie-in to America's pastime of talking about eating and actually eating. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Wednesday, a big day for Major League Baseball. There are still these involuntary eye rolls when I talk about baseball. I'm trying, and maybe I'll get over it by the time they get back on the field, but it still feels so just disingenuous to me. The whole thing just, it feels like some kind of a Broadway play or a Broadway show, and I'd rather have actual Broadway. But it feels half-assed, I guess, or half-hearted would be another way to say it. But it was a big day because baseball teams had to report, as long as they're healthy and weren't testing positive for the virus, they had to report for summer camp. All right, so that's what it's being called, summer camp. And they had to go through testing for a virus that, I mean, let's even put ourselves back to the beginning of spring training. All the talk was about the Houston Astros and what big fat cheaters they were. And now here we are months later, and that's not even a story. So the testing began on Wednesday, and they're testing in their home stadiums, in their home markets, because by Friday, workouts are supposed to begin in major league ballparks all over the United States of America. And these workouts are different from, let's say, the end of spring training. They're more like the beginning of spring training. So summer camp is kind of a reboot of spring training. And they're going to have staggered workouts, similar to the way the NBA has been doing it at their facilities that are open. And so you'll have maybe pitchers, you'll have then batting practice, you might have fielding drills, whatever the case is. But they're not going to do intra-squad games. They're not going to jump into games all at once. At some point over the next few weeks, they will. They'll start to do intra-squad games, she said. But the big deal now is to get everybody into their home markets, their home stadiums, and be virus-free. And so players have to get their temperatures checked and be tested for the virus when they arrive, and then every other day after that. And automatically a temperature that registers over 100.4 gets you sent home. So you may or may not have the virus if your temperature is up, but that's the trigger. That's the level. If you're over 100.4, see ya. We'll test you, sure, but you're going to go home as a precaution. This is interesting, too. Players are required to take their own temperatures before coming to the ballpark so that anybody with a fever can stay away. I mean, there certainly are other sicknesses, illnesses that produce a fever, but it's also a pretty solid indicator, or has been associated very closely with COVID-19. And so baseball is trying to do the same thing as basketball, just they're creating mini bubbles all over the country as much as they can. Okay, so they're not sequestering players the way that basketball is, but they're not allowing you into the workout bubble unless you are virus free. And so here becomes this the start of the march. Every other day, but you get your temperature checked every day. Uber cautious. If you do have a fever, if you don't feel well, you're expected to stay home and test at home. It's extensive and it's meticulous. But even with Major League Baseball, which is not a contact sport for the most part, every now and then I suppose there's some contact, but it's not a contact sport. They want to do everything they possibly can to prevent a spread and to not allow anyone with the virus to get anywhere near his teammates, his managers, the coaches, whoever else is around. Now, I thought this was interesting, too. I hadn't really thought about this, but there are some places where you could imagine fans would show up outside the ballparks. In some places, it's easier to get close to the players and where they enter the parks, and in some places, it's not. Baseball's hoping that fans stay away, even though they probably want a glimpse of the players, or maybe in some cases you can even see through into the ballpark, like depending on your perspective, or let's say there's a hill nearby, or you happen to live in an apartment building, or there's a parking garage or something. They're really hoping that fans will stay away and they won't congregate. They're going to try to keep the players away from fans. So if fans are showing up, you know, players are going to go in a particular private entrance. But baseball is discouraging fans from showing up. Just wait for the season to start, and then you'll get the baseball that you want. But for now, they're hoping as much as possible, it's just the players, just the managers and the coaches and whatever staff members they need. And for now, they're going to go through these workouts and they're going to restart now summer camp, quote unquote. I guess that could be one of America's pastimes. Summer camp. That's what baseball's been reduced to. Summer camp. And then it's about trying as much as possible to catch the virus before, if there's anyone who has it, catch the virus before these guys get around their teammates or anybody else that they might infect. And while they're not in a real specific bubble, meaning they are going home or to a hotel if they don't happen to live in that market, they are leaving the ballpark. They're not staying there 24/7. But again, you're expected to be responsible. You're expected to report if you have symptoms. You're expected to think about your teammates and pull yourself out of that day's practices or workouts and then go through the 48 hours with no symptoms and, you know, with negative tests. So it's a lot of individual responsibility, similar to what the NBA will be, although they're expected to stay put where they are. With baseball, like golf, like NASCAR, I mean, they're really asking these athletes to take care of their business when they're not together with their teammates to try to protect the game itself and to protect the 60-game season that is on the horizon. But it's a lot of responsibility. And as we've talked about over the course of the week, not everybody views that responsibility as seriously. I don't know if you all saw what Damian Lillard had to say about players following the rules in the bubble, but we'll get to that coming up. And I just think Rob Manfred needs to stop talking about the season. He's not helping, but I was a little bit taken aback by his comments on Wednesday about the season and the negotiating. So we'll let you hear a little bit from him as well. In the meantime, our third July 4th question of the week. So four for the fourth. This one is, what are America's best foods?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's the 2-2 on Mike Trout. And he hammers one at deep left field. It is Trout here. He cleared both bullpens right there. Smacked it out. No doubter. Number 43 of the season. RBI number 100. And the Angels' lead gets a little bit bigger. It's now 5-2.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
When I hear a home run call from Terry Smith on the Angels radio network or play-by-play from last year's World Series, then I really miss baseball. Hearing the sounds of the game, that makes me miss the sport. But then when I hear the commissioner talk or I hear players talk about these last couple months and these negotiations and I think about a 60-game season, then my enthusiasm is tempered pretty quickly. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's a hard thing to wrap my brain around, and maybe it is for you too, longtime baseball fans, that this season will look nothing like what we have come to expect from the baseball world. And whether it's the sound of the game, whether it's the appearance of the game, whether it's the length of the season, whether it's the World Series, I mean, all those things that we associate with baseball. And I mean, there are some of you who still say it's America's pastime. It's going to be a very weak imitation in 2020. And I'm not saying it isn't worth it. As I told you over and over, I still believe sports have a responsibility to try to get back and play because of all of the other industries and all the people whose jobs depend upon them. And this is outside of players. I'm not talking about the athletes. There are a lot of people who need sports to return because of the economy that's stimulated and generated by the sports industry. And so I do hope it takes place. But it's hard for me to separate what happened the last 2 months with just the nostalgia of opening day or a big home run or a come from behind win or a walk off or anything like that. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, was a guest on the Dan Patrick radio show. That was on Wednesday. And I'm not sure why he would share this, but he did. Apparently, there was only so much that the negotiating between the owners and the Players Association actually even mattered.
Some people have talked about longer seasons, 62 short. The reality is, we weren't going to play more than 60 games, no matter how the negotiation with the players went or any other factor. 60 games is the outside of the envelope, given the realities of the virus.
So if that's the case, what was the whole song and dance with negotiation? Why bother? If you were never going to play more than 60 games and you're going to say that's the reality of the virus, then why waste all that stupid time? Why not just mandate a 60-game season and get that negotiating process over with? Why bother? Was it so you could look like you were participating in some type of a compromise? Was it so you could, make the show of cooperating with the Players Association? What was the point? If you were never going to play more than 60 games, why even entertain proposals from the union? What a freaking waste of time. Seriously, why bother? And another why question, why would the commissioner even share that information? Why? We don't need to know that. We're already, I'll just speak for me, I'm already annoyed and dismayed and frustrated and angry at times over Major League Baseball and how much time they wasted. And now the commissioner's going to tell me, oh, you know what? We were never going to play more than 60 games anyway. Seriously? Ew. Just ew. I feel like that was a total... It was one of those comments that your mom would tell you is better left unsaid. If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. It was a total slap in the face to anybody who still was believing that the process was actually genuine on both sides. Nope. They were never going to play more than 60 games. All those proposals, what were there, 8 of them? That was just so you guys could practice writing proposals. We weren't actually considering them. Oh my gosh. It just adds to the frustration. So anyway, on we go. And baseball players are getting set to resume their workouts in a form of summer camp. And so right now is about the testing and getting back to their markets and making sure they actually can participate in the workouts and that they're healthy. And they're going to need to accept some responsibility. Damian Lillard, who is part of the NBA and who, of course, is getting ready to enter a bubble, is actually laughing about the idea that everybody in the NBA community, players, coaches, officials, yada, 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 that they're actually going to follow the rules. And I love this quote from him. He says, when we have 100% freedom, everybody don't follow all the rules. So when you're allowed to do whatever you want, people still don't follow the rules. So why in the world would they follow the rules now when they're so restrictive? He says, you're telling me you're going to have 22 teams full of players following all the rules? My confidence ain't great. So I like it. I mean, Dame usually will tell you what he thinks and tell it like it is. And I mean, they're going to have to decide, every single player, every single member of the traveling party is going to have to decide whether or not it's important enough to them to follow the rules. But to hear someone of his stature say, I don't have a lot of confidence about it. We'll see. It just takes one guy who goes out and brings the virus back into the bubble to blow the whole thing up. It can spread that quickly with a contact sport, obviously. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Super easy. We're looking for America's foods. What are America's best foods? And Bob Uessler joins us now, getting set to do the update. So, Bob, if someone from outside the United States, maybe has never visited here before, says to you, what American foods would you recommend? What's the best of America's foods that we have to offer?
The hamburger.
So that's what I said, too. I said beef. That was the best answer I could come up with.
Yeah. The hamburger is, of course, there is a battle between communities. New Haven, Connecticut claims to have invented the hamburger. I think there's a place in Texas that makes that claim. But it's uniquely American. And when done right, Nothing better than a burger with, yeah, a little peanut butter on top, too.
Okay, no. That's definitely uniquely American. But I would agree with you that a burger, especially when you're talking about grilling, oh, my gosh, so yeah. Good. And then producer Chris thought hot dogs, too. I don't actually know if they have originated in the United States, but the burgers and dogs are uniquely American.
No doubt. No, I mean, does anything beat that combination on a holiday weekend? I mean, it you can't beat it. That's an all-American, cuisine. Hamburgers and dogs and have at it.
Anything else? Can you think of anything else that you would recommend?
Well, you know, pizza.
Apple pie? Yeah, oh, pizza.
You know, pizza is, that. It's also, that's a very, very much Americanized, isn't it?
Right, it is.
And, well, I'm trying to think of something maybe a little bit more Epicurean.
No, I like it. I mean, they may not be the healthiest foods, but they certainly do represent a bunch of our pastimes, right?
I can tell you, I'm getting hungry right now.
I know. Me too. I'm with you. All right. Well, you think about it. If you come up with anything else, you know, we're also here tomorrow night.
I always do give a thought, and in this particular case, I guarantee you, I will.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
As we were talking about baseball just a little bit, hearing from Commissioner Rob Manfred, jogged my memory, Jeff Blum, formerly of the Astros and a bunch of other teams in Major League Baseball. In fact, a World Series champion in 2005 with the White Sox. He is now the Astros TV analyst, and we've had him on the show a bunch. In fact, the last time that we had him on the show was right after the commissioner released his report about the Astros cheating. And it was one of the most insightful, candid, honest, even emotional interviews that I have ever done. And he, you know, he was very pointed about what this scandal meant for the Astros and for their World Series. Anyway, seems like a lifetime ago, doesn't it? And almost like it never happened. Anyway, Jeff Blum is going to join us on our next show to wrap up the work week. And we'll talk to him about everything that's happening with baseball and its return and the 60-game season and of course, the Astros and where they fall in all of this. Yeah, it's strange what seemed so important and so critical and so monumental a few months ago. And, yeah, now it's like this wrinkle in time opened up and swallowed the early part of 2020. The Super Bowl was incredible, but it feels like a lifetime ago. Gosh, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're so glad to have you. It's so good to have you. There goes the perfect show. You know, sometimes I actually make it past the first half hour. All toll-free line, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know? Right now, Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's on top of what you can already save with Geico. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. 855-212-4227. Tonight's fourth topic is America's best food. What is it? What belongs to us? Because I swear sometimes, it happens all the time, I get together with family or friends and we figure out what we want to do to eat and we're naming all these foods or restaurants that represent other cultures, which is great, but what's American food? Let's talk to Rick, who's in Baltimore. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Good evening, Amy.
Hello.
Hi, I hope you're settling into a new place okay.
Yeah, the worst is behind me. Thank you. I mean, there's still a lot of unpacking to do, but goodness, my family, they rescued me in a big way.
Excellent. You know what? You won't need help with moving.
Yeah.
So I'm going to knock this one out of the park right away, okay?
All Here right. Okay.
So I am biased. I grew up in Buffalo, so it's got to be the chicken wing.
Ah.
What is more American than a red hot chicken wing with a white foamy beer and blue cheese served up with heat and flavor that doesn't quit like the American spirit. That is American. You got it right there in one shot.
I like that. I do like the buffalo wing. That's a great answer, but I don't know about the beer. Did we actually create beer?
We perfected it. We perfected it. Root beer if you want. You can have the white foam on your root beer.
I mean, I feel like we perfected the French fry, too, but I don't know that that makes it ours.
Fair enough. But it was just getting the red, white, and blue flavors together.
Oh, yeah. No, I would agree with you there. And I'm big. I know blue cheese in some minds is not necessary to go with the buffalo wings. But for me, I'm all about it. Whether I have I've had a buffalo chicken pizza before, a buffalo chicken wrap or a buffalo chicken salad or just plain wings, I always go with the blue cheese.
Yeah, you're doing an injustice if you go with ranch dressing. Everybody's got their rights and privileges, but that's an injustice.
That's a good point. It is the United States, but I can still say you're wrong.
Fair enough. We can agree to disagree, and I'm okay with that.
No, I'm with you on the blue cheese, Rick. Well, that's a great answer. Thank you so much.
You take care. Be well. Happy 4th.
You too. Let's talk to Kevin, who's in Arkansas. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. I know everybody deserves a break, and you do especially, but I'm glad you're back. I didn't enjoy your replacement at all.
Oh, no, come on. He's just different than me. When you get used to my deep, manly voice, then it's hard to listen to anyone else, I know.
Well, anyway, I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
So American foods, corn dog.
Corn dog?
Corny dog. Corn dog?
Yeah, no, I know what they are. It's just
okay,
that wasn't the answer I was expecting.
Well, it's American for sure. Well, then, of course, you got...
Wait, but hold on. Is that America's best food, though? Are you really going to tell someone who visits from outside the country, hey, the best food we have to offer is a corn dog?
Oh, no. Okay, all right. Well, I didn't know we were going best. All right, well, if you go... it got to be in the top 10, southern food, fried chicken or chicken fried steak.
All right. Yeah, that's something I didn't know anything about until I moved to Oklahoma. And then when I saw it on the menu, someone tried to offer me chicken fried steak, and I thought it was chicken. I didn't get it. So it's definitely a southern thing because I'd never heard of it before in where I'd lived in New England or north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Oh, well, there you go, New England, the New England-style clam chowder.
Yes, for sure. I do love clam chowder. It's really good, whether it's white or red, but clearly white is the more supreme clam chowder.
Brunswick stew. You ever heard of it?
Uh-uh.
Well, it's a real rich, it's probably tomato-based, I guess. I've only had it a couple times, but it's real rich. It's got kind of a barbecue bean-type flavor to it, a little barbecue spices in it.
Okay.
But the meat they use in it is actually squirrel.
Wait, don't tell people that who come from outside the country. We're going to serve you some squirrel as America's best food.
Hey, well, it's good. It really is. But, it's got to be top three desserts, probably. Pecan, not pecan, pecan pie.
Whatever. After squirrel, you lost me, man. I don't want any more recommendations from you.
All right. Thanks, Amy.
Thanks, Kevin. 855-212-4227. Squirrel? Seriously, who out there has eaten squirrel? Just admit it if you have. I'm trying to think of the craziest thing I've ever eaten, like the craziest meat I've ever eaten. Gosh, I mean, I thought squid was kind of exotic when the first time I ate it, but now I love it. I love any kind of seafood and fish, so I'll eat any kind of seafood or fish. I don't know, I don't know that that is American, though. We do have great seafood in some parts of the country, seafood and fish. We have some really good fish. I'm trying to think of the craziest thing I've ever eaten. I did not eat a chicken foot, but it did show up in my stew or my soup when I was in Ecuador one year. They had warned us, this is before my first trip ever to Ecuador, and they had warned us that up in the Andes Mountains, very often they will serve you soup and they put the chicken foot right in the soup. And so at least I knew it was coming, that when it showed up at the table where I was sitting at my place, I didn't blanch at it, but I did not eat the chicken foot either. There were some people who just like tore right into it. I mean, you can't really eat the foot, but you can eat whatever is... Oh, never mind. I can't even talk about it. Gross. Sorry. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see. Let's go with some of your tweets here. A-Law Radio. Kevin says, Chicago deep dish pizza, buffalo wings, the double bacon cheeseburger. He also says tater totes. Chris, what is the chance that the autocorrect got in there? Tater totes.
The cell phone monster strikes again.
Tater totes. That's funny. And then clam chowder. Brian on Twitter, a full slab of charcoal grilled barbecue ribs. Yeah. Got to be charcoal. I cannot do the gas grill. My brother and I had a whole conversation about charcoal versus gas last week because he doesn't know how to charcoal. Matt, I mean, what? He said, you have to charcoal. You have to grill because I don't know how. I don't know how to, I mean, what? Oh my goodness. I thought we grew up in the same household. But he says he's all about the gas, which is all he said. Really, he admitted it's because he doesn't have the patience to grill and charcoal. And so I started the charcoal, the grill to try to get it going. And he stood there for 2 minutes and was like, I can't wait for this. Whatever. It's worth the wait. Sanjay on Twitter, turkey with all the trimmings and pumpkin pie. Now, if you trace that back, I don't know whether or not they had pumpkin pie at the first Thanksgiving, but that is really Native American, right? It's uniquely American. I think that's a great answer. Joe, hot dogs, white and red. Shoot, I don't know what a white hot dog is. Okay, I'm clearly no good at when it comes to some of these foods. let's see, another tweet, cheese steaks. Jeffrey says pizza, and you can quote me on that. And then Michael says chili. I say chili, if not cheeseburgers. Well, when it comes to chili, this American girl can make about 7 or 8 different versions of it, and I am proud of my chili. Another tweet, steak and potatoes, hamburgers, hot dogs, and pie. But what kind of pie exactly? All right, so on Twitter or on our Facebook page, lots of great answers there as well, so we'll get to them. What is America's best food? If you're telling someone from outside the country, hey, I want you to meet our best foods, what are they in honor of Independence Day? 1 hour down. Thanks for listening. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.